So we have today, as I mentioned, the feast of the holy body and blood of Jesus, which we celebrate in this time of the year, every year. And of course, we're in this process too with the bishops of attempting to grow our faith in the real presence of Christ, that he's actually with us, and he will be with us after Mass. Of course, this is the first time we've had Mass here, and we'll have the tabernacle once again filled with the precious body of Christ. It reminded me of, looking at these readings, reminded me of a time back when I was teaching at Franciscan University, and there's something that started to happen. It was toward the late 90s. I got there in 1988, my second year of priesthood, and by the late, about 10 years into my 30 years there, I noticed the students would come to see me during office hours, and they'd apologize for bothering me. And it was like toward the late 90s, and it was well underway by the 2000s. And I can't say for sure why that started to pick up, but I started to think about it a little bit and remember that Roe versus Wade, it was in 73, and that these students, now in their 20s, that's 93, 95, 97, they were survivors of abortion. A lot of their peers didn't make it into the world. They weren't wanted. And I don't know if it's something that accounts totally for why they would start apologizing to me for bothering me, but I used to say to them, I said, you know, make demands. That's why I have office hours. I'm here to help. Make demands. You don't have to apologize. That's what I'm here for. And it just didn't seem to click with them. They would still always apologize for bothering me. Well, in the responsorial psalm today, it struck me that we have something similar coming to us from the Lord. Because the psalmist asked this question, how shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he's done for me? How am I going to return? He's been so good to me. How can I make a return to him? You know what the answer is in the psalm? Make more demands. This is crazy. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to even make more demands. See, we're not used to that. We're not used to that. We're just not used to that. Most people, they don't want to bother with you. Because, like I said at the beginning of Mass, it's almost like in the air we're breathing today. We're on the take. But Jesus, he's laying it down for us. He had nothing to gain for himself when he went up Calvary. Nothing. Because he was sinless. That was totally for us. And he was given. And now he's body given and blood outpoured. And that's what we receive in the Eucharist. See, this is medicine. And we are meant to be given. I really think this is one of the reasons why we have a hard time in our culture with moderation. You know, if you have one piece of pizza, now imagine this. Imagine you giving yourself to a piece of pizza such that you really enjoy it. It's a good piece of pizza. And you really enjoy it. When you're on the take, you never enjoy it. You're just consuming mass quantities. And maybe 14 pieces later, you go, oh my God, I ate all that. Because you never really enjoyed any of it, because you weren't given. You weren't given. Imagine giving yourself to just one piece and how enjoyable that would be. Oh, that sounds so decadent. We got to do it. Nothing wrong with enjoying a piece of pizza. 14 pieces, might be a little out of our league, most of us. I don't know that that's such a good idea. And see, but it gets a little higher, you know, and we're on the take, for example, in before marriage, we're on the take, maybe. You know, we're taking from the other. And what that means is in order to still be liked, I got to prepare a good package so that when they're taking from me, they still like it. I've got to prepare what they're taking so they like it. And we never do really get to who are you? Because we're not given. We're not given. Or maybe we're given, and the first time we're given is when we come to the altar and actually give ourselves to each other. And maybe after a couple of years, you start discovering what you gave yourself to, and you go, what in the world did I do? And that's the challenge. I mean, we're not meant to be on the take so much. Because this is medicine for us, to be healed from that. A vocation is a time when I'm being given. Now, that's the priesthood, yes. I'm given in body, soul, and spirit to Christ. And my body is not given to a woman in marriage. But in marriage, if you're given before marriage, you start to receive what's being given, and it will take you where it comes from, which is God. Imagine that. God actually in the relationship. Imagine that. If you give yourself to what you're taking, it will take you to where it comes from. Now, this is another reason why I think a lot of people get wounded in our culture. Since we're only on the take, we're taking very harmful things to ourselves. We've lost our capacity for discerning what we should ingest, because we're ingesting some very harmful things, because we're not giving ourselves to them. We're just taking it, and we're consuming it, and we don't even realize what we're doing. Whereas if I was giving myself to it, I would understand, and I would know what this is, and I'd go, that's evil, I'm getting out of here. And I wouldn't give myself to that. I'd avoid it, because it's harmful, you see. It's kind of interesting, if you look at all the judgment texts in the Bible, the people that don't get in, Jesus says, I don't know where you're from. I don't know where you're from. I don't know where you're coming from. He's given, but this person, they're not coming from the Father, because if they were, they'd be given to Jesus, but they're not given. Where are you coming from? I don't know where you're coming from. And you don't get in. And, you know, it's such a simple thing to reflect upon. And yet it's a whole orientation in life to be given. Have you ever, there's a lot of parents here. I have no doubt this will sound familiar. Have you ever kept giving even when you're way in over your head? Does that sound familiar? And see, when I'm not given, I stay within the parameters of my limitations right now at 20. And I never grow. I mean, our capacity to grow only occurs when we start being given. Because when you start being given, you're stepping out, you're laying it down, and yeah, sometimes you might end up way in over your head. You might even have times, I know I've had them in my own vocation, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. Here it is. Oh, but I want to be in control. I should never be in that position. And so you stay within the limits of yourself as a 20-year-old. That's what happens. In a way, we never grow up. See, this is the thing. Jesus comes with the medicine we need. He calls us to follow him and ourselves to be given and to lay it down. Now, there's a beautiful thing, too, here I'd like to just end with. And that is, you will find nowhere on the face of this earth a more pure, unadulterated, self-sacrificing, generous, authentic love than what you receive at this Eucharist. And because we're so much on the take today, we have people, they're not even coming here anymore to go to church. They don't want to, or they don't feel they need to encounter, they don't need this medicine. They don't need it. But they're not happy. At least if we believe the social sciences, they're telling us we have depression on the rise today, especially among our young. The world begins to open up when you give yourself to it. That's how it opens up. It becomes a bigger world, much bigger. And the adventure starts. And Jesus is the one to start it with his call on each one of our lives. And you might be sitting there today thinking, kind of like the world does, you know, I don't think it's any secret. We're into this world now that's kind of split up between the elite and the common person who maybe doesn't matter as much. That's kind of where we are. You have the elite, like the really, you know, maybe in terms of, you know, the economy or the culture, the influencers or whatever they might be. They're the elite. And then there's the rest of us. There's none of that when you come here. None of it. In fact, Jesus said to the widow who gave the widow's mite, she's given the most of anyone. Because she gave all she had, whereas these others are given from their abundance. Who gives more to a plate of ham and eggs? The chicken or the pig? Everyone is welcome here. There's no elites when you come before Christ. Everyone is loved at this altar. Everyone. There's no one excluded. You don't have to belong to some special club to be loved by Jesus. He laid down his life for every single one of you in this church. Regardless of how that world splits you up out there, all that gets checked at the door when you come in here. And you're loved. He's laying it down for you. Because he loves every single one of you. And you don't have to belong to an elite club. Maybe you're saying, oh, Father Dan, you're the elite because you're a priest. Oh, and you're really special because you have a PhD. Yeah. I don't think so. There's no elites when you come before Jesus. Where are you coming from? Where are you coming from? Brothers and sisters, today, open up to what Jesus offers you, which is himself. And then make demands. Don't hesitate. He's been so good to you. Well, I don't want to wear out my welcome. Make demands. He's laying it down for you. And he loves you.